Today on Real Life Radio.
You got so busy, going so fast, you made a left-hand turn, I fell right out of the back of your truck, and you just kept going on your own inertia, and I'm back here, and now I'm asking you to let me back in and love me first. You got so busy, Martha, that you forgot to be in love with me.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, when it comes to social media, we can either use it for our benefit or allow ungodly philosophies, opinions, and worldviews to bog us down with content that really doesn't come from a place of love and hope. We often fail to realize the influence social media has upon our lives. So if you're looking for a social media source that promotes biblical truth, simply head over to our website, jackhibbs.com. Now, once you're there, you'll find Pastor Jack's podcasts, YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, real-life radio programs, and a whole lot more. Again, our website is jackhibbs.com, and it's there you'll find easy access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer, including our Real Life mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. That's at jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, What's Got You Busy? You know, this series called The Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 10, we'll look at how busy people occupy themselves and how what seems normal in our hectic world is not right with God. You see, there is a difference between business and fruitfulness. Business feeds into our own desires, working hard towards our own goals, our pleasures, even our egos. But fruitfulness is being about the Father's business, eager to please Him and wanting to bring service and comfort to others. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we think we're doing something important by worrying about it. We often abandon God right in the middle of an issue. We only benefit by doing what pleases God. Instead, we stumble through our prayers, too distracted to even notice when He answers. Now, with his message called What's Got You Busy? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
If we believed that, we would be walking around all day looking like a bunch of babbling idiots. Because we'd be saying, Dear God, help me now. Lord, help me cross the street. Dear God, do this in my life. God, use me. Billy Graham's getting old. Make me the next Billy Graham. And what do you pray radical? He's a radical God. This world's in need. Pray radical. You'd look like a crazy man talking. You know, this is a great time of life, by the way. You can fake somebody out. You can be praying, Dear God in hell. You can be in your car. Lord God, come down and fill my car with your glory. And people are thinking, look at that guy. He must be making some big deal on the phone right now at the stoplight. Look at him talk. Boy, he must be in a conference call. You see people in the car by themselves? Hey, I'm old enough that when that used to happen when I was younger, you were nuts. Look at that guy. He is crazy. Now you can get away with it. Dear God in heaven, make this light turn green. They don't know what you're saying. I think it's awesome. And if you're insecure about that, then just put one of those little Bluetooth things in your ear. Talk to God. Fake him out. Just talk to the Lord and everyone's going, look at that guy go. That's practical. Talking to God. Not what the world has to say to us. The world is impractical. The Christian, with your Bible open, you're the only one in all this world with the answer. The world's going crazy. You've got the answer. People are wringing their hands. What's going to become of the world? We know. It's like we're secret agents. We've got the answer. John 16, 23, most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. If a Christian doesn't have joy, point to them and say, go pray. I'm very sad. I have no joy. Go pray then. I thought you'd help me. I am helping you. Go pray. I need money. I need a pat on the back. I need whatever. Fine. Go pray. Let's talk. But the joy comes from Him when we ask. Only God can give that. So attractive was the prayer of the disciples. As Jesus was praying, the disciples saw His prayer so attractive that what did they say? In fact, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 1, it says, "Now it came to pass that as He was praying that in a certain place, and when He had ceased, the disciples came to Him and said, 'Teach us to do that.'" Isn't that great? That's practical. The world hears us praying and they go, "Man, is it that bad? You got to pray?" Second point this morning, we're going to go fast or I'm in big trouble. Second point this morning is this. What's got you busy? Is it the things of your life? Is it things of our life? But Martha was distracted by much serving, and she approached Him. And she said to Him, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." That sounds like my house. That sounds like your house. Is it the things of our lives, things that pull us away? Look at verse 40. The word distracted there is the Greek word. Listen, it's powerful. It means to be pulled away, to be dragged away from your desire, to be ripped from the dock like a boat. It's a very violent word. She was ripped from the dock by her attention towards other things. Martha is an A type. Type A Martha, no doubt about it. And she had reached her boiling point, and she is now becoming a victim of a life that's running out of juice, running out of power, running out of patience, running out of the Lord. Martha here is beginning to accuse Jesus of being part of the problem. This is amazing. Church, listen to this. Martha is actually saying to Jesus, "My sister abandoned me." Listen, the word, if we translate it into modern English today, it means this. My sister abandoned me at my labors, which are pulling on me and Jesus like you have no idea. And you are part of the problem here. That's what the word means. You're not helping me. She's rebuking Him. This is what happens when we don't spend time with Him. We wind up counseling Him instead of Him counseling us in the time that we're with Him. No, we don't spend time with Him. After all, we are going to tell Him a thing or two. "Jesus, my life is falling apart and you're not helping. Tell my boss to give me a raise. Tell my husband to fall in line. Tell my wife, fill in the blank. Tell my kids." Don't look at me so pious. We're all like this. When we are not with Him, we dictate things to Him. And the church is so carnal, the church is so distant from God, that Jesus ranks right up there with Santa Claus. Things pull us away. We had a meeting, and it was some of the pastors across America. And one of the brothers was stating that he had just read a private internal poll conducted by the Barna Group that was only asked of pastors anonymously in America. And they asked, the Barna Group, poll group asked, "How much time do you spend in prayer, Pastor, daily?" You know what the average was? 3 minutes a day. You know what the excuse was? Exactly. They're too busy. You know what that tells me? Translation. Whatever they're doing is wood, hay, and stubble. No wonder why America's churches are nurturing and raising up people who don't even carry Bibles to church. Why? Because the pastor doesn't have time for the Bible. Pastor doesn't have time for the Bible, but he has time to download a message from some old manna off the internet somewhere. He can't hear and get a message from God because he's too busy doing whatever he's doing. Didn't the book of Acts teach us that those who minister the word of God are to get away from the tables, let spirit-filled men take care of that while they sought God in prayer and in the study of the word to preach the word of God? Amen. Martha's a wonderful woman, but she is distracted. When I think about distraction, I think of things, I don't know, like the things that yank on us, soccer moms getting pulled in every direction, golf pros pulled in every direction, surfers pulled in every direction. And if that doesn't put you in a category, then what about us workaholics? Pulls us in every direction. We know we're in trouble with God when we take a day off and we feel guilty. You want to redeem that? You want to redeem that? Go before the Lord. Get up early. Seek God. Watch what happens. It'll change your life. By the way, I wrote this about me. This is not about you. The things that pull me away from Jesus are the things that I allow to pull me away from Jesus. That's a note. Note to self. The things that pull me away from Jesus are the things that I allow. I know this is surgery. In Genesis 15:1, the Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward." And this is what Jack adds to the verse when he's not spending time with God. "And Abraham said to God, 'Is that all? Abraham, I am your exceedingly great reward.'" Is that it? You say, "I would never say that." No, but we live like that. "God, can't talk to you now. I'm late for work." Why are we late? Is our relationship with Jesus more valuable than sleep? Is it more valuable than food?
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Joshua 24:15. Joshua says, "If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose for yourself this day whom you'll serve." I like his attitude. "Whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of this river, the gods of the Amorites who dwell in this land. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," said Joshua. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the nations, and I will be exalted on the earth. And the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." We also learn this, that there are things that are just not right. It says in verse 40 here, it continues, "And she approached Jesus, and she said to him, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone?'" This word approach, it's a strong word, church. Listen to this. The word approach in the Greek here, she came to Jesus approaching him. It means that she stood over him. She loomed. The word is also translated assaulted him. Isn't that amazing? Wow, what a strong word. She assaulted him with this word, looming or towering over him. Looking, can you see her? She's probably got a spatula in her hand. Again, the flowers all over her face, her apron. She's wiping the sweat from her brow. He's reclined at the table, and she's standing right over him. "Hey, come on here." This is comical and tragic at the same time. Comical because we can relate. Tragic because we can relate. So she's looming over him, and she says, "Lord." Wow. I have found out in my own life, I know this is not you, but in my own life, when I'm not in the Word, I get real snappy. I mean, the Bible for me is like vitamins, I guess, for most people or whatever. Man, if I'm not in the Bible, I get snappy. I am a Martha. But God has shown me this week, I had better be a Mary before I do any Martha stuff. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there's no vision, the people perish. But he who keeps my word is happy." Also this, is it the things of my life, our lives, things that frustrate? She says, "Therefore, tell her to help me." Are you sitting down? Listen to this. "Therefore, tell her to help me." This is over the top. The word "to tell" it's what's called in the Greek the definite past tense. It means this. I command you. I am instructing you, Jesus. Therefore. See the word "therefore"? She's saying, in light of what you are involved in, You know what's going on. I command you. Tell her. Who's Lord anyway? Do we not know Martha? Don't we? Aren't we related to her? Seems like we know her. Well, poor thing. She's rebuking Jesus with this assertion. You're not helping the matter. In Philippians 4:6, please write this down. Everyone needs to write this down. This is, you want to take a pill? Take this pill. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing. Now watch. Be anxious for, church, watch this. I can feel the vibe. Be anxious for nothing. And people in the, oh yeah, right. Boy, obviously he lives in some other world. You're exactly the one I'm talking to. So how can you judge me like that? Because I am you. You and I are exactly the same guy. Be anxious for nothing, God says. Watch this. But in everything, by what? Prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will garrison, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? Well, I don't know if I believe it. Put it to the test. I've never had that happen. Read it, pray it, watch it happen. It's amazing. Or you can just go grab your martini instead. It calms me down. Hey, my God will beat your martini any day. What crutch do you have? Only the creator of the universe. Third and final point, verses 41 to 42. What's got you busy? Is it the things that matter? This is what matters. The heart of the Lord matters most, don't you think? The heart of God? Don't we want him to save us? Can you imagine? You guys, this is, I'm so glad that you're here. Remember after September 11th, churches were packed across America. It took 3 weeks for America to forget. What do I need to pray? Dear God, send an earthquake every Sunday morning about 6 a.m. A big one. Huh? He could. I joke, but listen. God is going to get your attention. It's much, please hear me, it's much better. I'm just speaking from personal experience. It's much better when I willingly give him my attention. When I don't and I'm too busy, he turns up the volume. And did anyone hear the space shuttle land this week? I'm studying away. I had completely forgot the space shuttle was going to be landing here. And boom, car alarms went off. What? Something I'm embarrassed to tell you. I called 911. I thought someone's home blew up. I thought, gas leak. Well, I'm not getting up. I'm studying the Bible. That's what I pay taxes for the fire department. I call 911. Hey, lady. 911, emergency. What's your emergency? Ah, there's a huge explosion. The space shuttle just landed. And I went, you're kidding me. So sorry. She goes, we're flooded with calls. I never call 911. I can take it myself. I'll do it. Stay back, Lisa. Don't call 911. I'll take care of it. But man, when that house shook, dogs took off running. I called 911. It was bigger than me. When we pray, 911, pray, 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 911. He gets our attention. The heart of the Lord matters most. He wants to hear from us. I haven't prayed, Jack, in years. A man came up to me 2 weeks ago and said, my marriage is a mess. My wife's leaving me. I just instantly said, are you reading your Bible? Are you praying with your wife? No. Have you ever? No. And I said, what else do you want to talk about? What else is going on in your life? What do you do? I can't help your marriage. It's impossible. Crisis. His heart is for you, and he wants to hear from you and I. Secondly, his plan. The plan of the Lord matters the most. He says to Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. You are worried and troubled. Church, did God create us to be worried and troubled? What did he create us for? We can hear multiple answers. It's okay. What did he create us for? Fellowship, worship. I mean, you can go on and on. Those are all right. Did he create us to worry? Can you imagine? You guys, I told you before, our backyard is full of birds. Birds fly in all over the place. Convention. They eat all day long. Noisy, singing, birds. I have never once seen a bird out there. Oh, my goodness. What if this... What if this food runs out here? I can't take. I've never seen a bird there with an ulcer. I've never seen a bird going, I've got an ulcer. I can't eat this stuff. I'm just worried sick. It's going to dry up someday. Never seen that. Jesus said, my Father takes care of the birds. You can be thinking about all this stuff. He says, you're not going to add one more inch to your height. He says, look at the field, the beautiful flowers. They don't toil or spin. Doesn't God know? He says, dude, doesn't my Father know you have need of all this stuff? He does. It's amazing. And then we end with here, verse 42. But one thing is needed. Martha, here's the most important thing in life. Oh, really? What is that? Mary's chosen it. It's the good part. She knew what it was. It's an ingredient word. Isn't this cool? Jesus is so great. It's like you being a mechanic. Jesus said, hey, slow down. Spend all your time on this hot rod thing, and you're not spending time with your kids or with your wife or whatever. Listen, the reason why this is going on with your neighbor is because he's chosen a better carburetor or an injector or a better transmission. Really? What is it? What is it, Jesus? It's the Jesus carburetor. It's the Jesus gas. She stepped right into it. What? What's the good part? Did I leave something out? I did this, I made that, and I cooked that for that 450 for 20 minutes, and what? And he says, yeah, here it is. You left me out. What? Yeah. You left me out of the equation there. My word matters most. Mary's listening to the word. You're not. At last verse of the day, Revelation chapter 2. And the angel of the church at Ephesus, right? That's Ephesus, Turkey. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works and your labor and your patience, and you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. Jesus is commending this church. And you have persevered and you have patience and have labored in my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, Revelation 2, verse 4, I have this against you. You've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. Jesus is saying, by the way, church at Ephesus was one of the biggest churches in the world at that time. You're a big church, huge bulletin, big deal, big sanctuary, big impact here in Ephesus. Wow, wow, wow. Good job. Awesome. Only problem is, you got so busy, going so fast, you made a left-hand turn, I fell right out of the back of your truck, and you just kept going on your own inertia, and I'm back here, and now I'm asking you to let me back in and love me first. You got so busy, Martha, that you forgot to be in love with me. This is the issue.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called, What's Got You Busy? Now, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Pastor Jack, years ago, there was a great book that came out, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Made a big difference in my life.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure millions of lives. Tell me more about this new one.
Yeah, Josh McDowell, who really rocked the atheistic world when he put out his first print of Evidence That Demands a Verdict, because he came from the area of being an atheist. He wanted to disprove the existence of God, so he went about on an intellectual, scientific pursuit, almost like a forensic dive into debunking the Bible.
Right.
And what that did to him was that when he couldn't debunk it, he wound up having gone through a tremendous faith struggle And then Josh McDowell later on became one of the great apologists in the 20th and 21st century. Now, with this evidence that demands a verdict, he's included his fantastic, wonderful son, Sean McDowell. So together, they give us now an updated version, over 750 pages long, Davey. This is not a sit-down, cuddle-up book. This is a reference book.
Yeah.
You go to it when you need it,
yeah,
and you peruse it. And you let it challenge you. But by all means, every Christian should have this book in their library.
Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Life-Changing Truth for a Skeptical World by Josh McDowell and Sean McDowell. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.